praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us, we filled with thee. Thou in the Son expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Once again today, we are joined in the studio by Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back this morning.
Glad to be here, as always.
Today's life study continues Genesis chapter 6 with Noah's Ark and the way of salvation from the third fall of man. Ron, would you briefly review for us the first 3 falls of man as we've seen recorded in Genesis?
The first, as we all know, is in chapter 3, where man fell away from God by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thereby taking into him the life and nature of Satan. This is what is called the fall of man. But the fall progresses in chapter 4 with Cain. God had instituted a way of salvation, which was practiced by Abel, who obeyed and carried out the teaching of his parents concerning this way. Cain, however, exercising his opinion, invented his own religion. His sacrifice or offering was rejected by God, and man fell further away from God's way of salvation into a godless civilization. The third fall of man is described in Genesis 6. By this time, man had become flesh. The thoughts or the imaginations or purposes of his heart were evil. And to make matters even worse, the sons of God, a phrase that refers to the rebellious angels, came into the daughters of men and through illicit, illegal marriage, polluted the human race, creating a situation that cried out for God's righteous judgment.
Thank you, Ron, for your introduction. Before we begin our life study today, we want to take just a moment to apologize to our listeners in advance for the audio quality of the tape we're about to listen to of Witness Lee. At the same time that we ask your forgiveness, we would also ask you to bear with us because we're convinced that if you will, you'll be richly rewarded with the contents and insights of a wonderful, marvelous life study of Genesis chapter 6. So let's join Witness Lee with the way of salvation from the third fall.
The ark is a great seed. All these concepts have been fully developed in the following books in the Bible. The whole ark is a type of Christ. First of all, I would say something about the matter of light. One window toward the heavens. This is the skylight. And the word in Hebrew for the word window is the word of the same root for noon, N-O-O-N. That means whenever you get to the window, you are at the noontime, full of light. I had many, many good times with Brother Nee. My, whenever you get to sit down with him, all your darkness is gone. Everything's so clear. In his presence, it seems that you are at the noontime. Why, you are just under the skylight. A man who is full of light. It's so good. Only one window. In God's economy, in God's churches, there should be only one window, not toward the east, not toward the west, path toward the heavens.
Amen.
And today in the church, there is only one revelation.
Amen.
Only one vision.
Right.
The light comes from above. And this is the ark. How about the door? We all got in through the same door. What is the door? Christ is the door.
Amen.
Right? We all got into the church through Christ. Christ is the entrance. Praise the Lord.
There's only
one way. One door, one entrance. Now, Christ was not only the crucified one, but also the one that shed his blood to cover us from the penalty of our sins. So the ark was pitched with a kind of pitch within and without. This means with Christ there is a full covering. We all are fully covered by his redemption.
Amen.
No condemnation could reach us. No judgment could reach us because we are under the covering of Christ's redemption.
Amen.
In other words, peace here signifies Christ's redemption. Christ's redemption covers us within and without. Within is for our sight. Without is for God's view. It's also for Satan.
What shall I do? Those folks under this are fully covered.
And it's also for the angels to have a look. Fully pitched.
Amen.
Fully covered. I tell you, this is the picture of the blood. Whenever we look at the blood, we have the peace. Whenever God looks at the blood, God said, I am satisfied. Whenever Satan looks at the blood, he says, I cannot do anything. And whenever the angels look at the blood, they say, Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pitch within for our peace, and pitch without for God's sight, and for Satan's sight, and for the angels' sight.
It's so good to see that the ark has only one window and one door and is pitched within and without. Ron, could you briefly develop these very precious and experiential points?
The window of the ark is actually a skylight. The root word here for window has the meaning of noon. So in spiritual significance, we have here in the ark one means of receiving light. So at the very top of the ark is a window that's a skylight, and it's the sole means for light to enter into the ark. In our spiritual experience, this one window points to the fact that in God's economy, there is one vision, one light, one revelation, all of which are carried out by the one and unique New Testament ministry. So we need to align ourselves under this window, this skylight, to receive the unique light, vision, and revelation recorded in the Scriptures. The one door points to the unique way of entering into the ark, which typifies Christ as our salvation. No, there are not many ways to be saved. There are not many ways to God. There are not many entrances into Christ. Christ himself is the way. Only through him can we enter into God's salvation. So we have one window for light and one door as the unique entrance. Now concerning the pitch, the ark was pitched on the inside and on the outside. And in typology, it indicates, or at least points to, the redeeming blood of Christ. The pitch on the gopher wood on the inside is for those in the ark to see. The pitch on the outside is obviously for those on the outside to see. We as believers in Christ are those inside the ark, and we need to look in faith at the blood and be at peace. But the blood is primarily for God, indicated by the pitch on the outside. When God sees the blood, he passes over us, his righteousness is satisfied, and he is happy. When Satan sees the blood, he is defeated and cannot accuse us. When the good angels see the blood, they rejoice. So how marvelous that in Christ we have a unique window, a unique door, and we have the precious blood to solve our problems with God, to bring us peace in our conscience and peace with God, and to silence the enemy. What a full salvation we have in our wonderful Christ. When the angels, the good angels, see the blood, they rejoice. So how marvelous that in Christ we have a unique window, a unique door, and we have the precious blood to solve our problems with God, to bring us peace in our conscience and peace with God, and to silence the enemy. What a full salvation we have in our wonderful Christ.
Amen. He certainly is our wonderful Christ. Thank you. Let's return now to Witness Lee.
The whole ark is a type of Christ. As the ark was a type of Christ, how could Noah build it? Could we human beings build a salvation?
No.
How would you say?
No.
But the ark was built by Noah. It was not built by God in heaven, then sent down. Let's turn to Philippians 2 again. Verse 12. The last part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We got saved. We don't have all this. Saved from what? Saved from eternal perdition. We all got this, no doubt about it. But Noah was saved not only from perdition, but also from that evil age. He was saved from that evil age, and he was saved into a new age.
Amen.
The ark built by him terminated the old generation and ushers in the new one.
Amen.
This is the kind of salvation that Noah was building. It is not just a salvation that saves them from eternal perdition, but save them from that crooked, perverse generation and brings them into a new age. This kind of salvation was not only prepared by God, but also built by the cooperation of the saved ones.
Right.
I know you all who have been saved will never perish, but you have to realize you still need a deeper, a higher, a further salvation that will save you from this crooked age and brings you into a new age.
Amen.
We all have been saved from the eternal perdition, but many of us today are not living and working in a way that something will be built up by our life and by our work that will bring us out of this evil age.
Amen.
And bring us into a new age. As far as God's judgment is concerned, we all got saved. But as far as God's economy goes, we are short of God's economy. God has condemned today's world, but you are still in it. God has condemned today's world, but you still love it. God has condemned and warned you to get yourself out of this age, but you still plunge yourself into this age. You are short of the higher salvation. You are short of the further salvation. The salvation that is mentioned in Philippians 2 is not the salvation from perdition. It's the salvation from the crooked, perverse generation.
Ron, I believe that we cannot help but be sobered by the application of Noah building the ark as we saw it connected to Philippians verse 12 in chapter 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you have some feeling about this, or maybe there's something else here that you'd like to touch?
No, let me comment briefly on this. We know from the New Testament revelation that we are saved by grace through faith. There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Even the faith by which we believe in God's saving grace is itself a gift from God. Nevertheless, in keeping with the principle of the twofoldness of divine truth, we need to take seriously this word about working out our salvation. For it is God who works in us the willing and the working according to His good pleasure. We should not just settle down and be indifferent or even lazy in the spiritual life. We need to realize that we are charged by God to work out our salvation. Now, the salvation in Philippians actually is not the salvation from eternal perdition. It is not the salvation from the righteous judgment of God. But it is an application of God's complete salvation. An application in what way? In particular, it is working out our salvation to be saved from this evil and crooked and perverted generation in which we are living. In Acts 2, Peter told the people who heard his gospel message to be saved from this crooked generation. So to work out our salvation is to live out Christ, to be one with Christ, to hold forth the word of life, to shine as lights in this dark age, and therefore enter into a salvation which rescues us from the generation in which we are living. In the case of Noah, we see a man who was saved not only from the judgment of God, but from the generation that was under the judgment of God. Many believers today rest in the fact, and rightly, that they're saved from eternal perdition, but they do not take seriously the requirement issued by the very saving God Himself to be saved from this generation. We should not love the world. We should be saved from the world by working out our salvation with fear and trembling.
Thank you, Ron. This matter of God's full salvation certainly warrants more of our consideration. I believe we'll come back to it as we conclude today's message. So let's rejoin Witness Lee.
We're time to the last point, the hardest point. When the apostles like Paul, Peter, and so forth preached the gospel, while they were preaching, I tell you, they were building an ark. What is that? What was that by that time? I tell you, that was the call preached to Christ. Well, the apostles were preaching the individual Christ. They were building up a call preached to Christ. And through that call preached to Christ, thousand people got saved, not only from God's judgment, but also from that crooked, perverse generation. And I tell you today, if we are faithful to God, we have to do the same thing. On the one hand, we are preaching the gospel, but on the other hand, we are building an ark. Amen. what we preach, we build up.
Amen.
And others, if they lack, also may get it.
Amen.
And this builded ark will save us from the condemned generation.
Amen.
We are not preaching, but building what we preach.
Amen.
What does this mean? This simply means we are living by Christ, we are living with Christ, and we are living out Christ. We hold on to Christ, and we live Him out. This is our building work. Not only so, we at the same time are building the proper church life. I tell you, in a sense, the proper church life is the corporate ark. The corporate Christ is today's ark. You have been saved and have been a Christian for years and years. You have never been separated from this crooked world. Until one day, this corporate ark does separate you.
Amen.
I tell you, you just come to the meeting again and again. You're just churching. Everything of this crooked age began.
Ron, I have never realized before today that the New Testament apostles were building an ark to save people from God's judgment and the world. And this ark that they were building was the church, the corporate Christ. Can you reiterate the scriptural basis for this churching concept that we just saw, which may be new language for some of our listeners?
As striking as it may sound, the Bible reveals both an individual Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Savior and our Lord, and the corporate Christ, that is, the church, the body of Christ, composed of all those who have believed into Christ. This is not the time to read the verse, but I would encourage the listeners to consult 1 Corinthians 12:12, where Paul clearly refers to the corporate Christ. We are saved from eternal perdition. We are saved from the righteous judgment of God by the wonderful, individual, personal Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. The ark, in a very real sense, typifies this Christ. The ark, at the same time, is a portrait of the corporate Christ, the Christ who is Himself the life and essence of the church, His body. It is not only through the individual Christ, but also through the corporate Christ, that we are saved from this crooked and perverse generation. Now we come to the matter of churching. We use the word church as a verb to indicate the practice of the proper church life according to New Testament principles. A great many of us can testify that simply by living actively and positively and corporately in the church life, enjoying the Lord in the meetings, serving Him in a practical way, preaching the gospel, caring for one another in love, we are rescued from this evil and crooked and perverted generation. Those who have only the individual Christ, but not the corporate Christ, may easily find themselves seduced, drugged, deceived, or ensnared by the things of this world. The church, the corporate Christ, however, is a holy and sanctified sphere. It is a real ark into which we may flee, on the one hand to enjoy there the triune God in His full salvation.
Thank you for joining us today, and for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.